Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Nation Billing. I'm DJ Black Caesar, and we're about to start our show. Today's topic is Exorcist, the birth, rebirth of God's nation, the mental and the spiritual separation from the mindset of Willie Lynch to the mindset of God and the rulers of earth. Sister Giddy's on the phone. Brother Rakim is on the Foam and Brother Ronald X. What's up, guys? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good by the grace of Allah. I'm doing wonderful. Hey, sister, get it. That song right there, man, it just does something to me, man. How'd you pick that song out?
Well, I'm an old school child, and, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire to me is the greatest band to ever do it. So they have many songs that I like, and that's one of my favorites. But as I was listening to it, I was like, that's a long song. I'm going to have to shorten my theme song.
That song is 4 minutes and 25 seconds. They did a lot of old songs like that are really long, but that song is the show topic. So let's get started with the show, Sister Gigi.
But I want to say something about Earth, Wind, and Fire, because when you listen to their music, every instrument, every sound is live. There are no DAT machines. There's, you know, no dub overs. Every instrument is played to perfection, and that's what makes Earth, Wind, and Fire the most outstanding band to ever do it in our time. So that's all I have to say about that. Now, assalamu alaikum, family. Assalamu alaikum to my distinguished panelists, Brother Ronald X out of Kansas City, Missouri, Mosque number 30. How are you, sir? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm fine by Allah's permission, sister, and you.
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. And since we got you on the phone for the very first time, we got you on the program, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
I'm a 39-year-old brother. I've been with the nation going on 10 years now. I've been registered 2 years, and I love this nation, this brotherhood, and this sisterhood, and I'm humbly honored to be on the show, sister.
Okay, and you know, Brother Ronald is 39 years old and single, sisters. Good looking, fine brother, sisters, to my beloved sisters out there. Good looking, fine brother, 39-year-old single black God. And we have also with us our CEO and our founder, King RKM. I call him King Rakim Khalik Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, Black Queen, my goddess sister. How are you tonight?
Well, alaikum salam, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sister. I've been up 7 days. I was telling my cousin, my big cousin, Black Caesar, I've been up 7 days. I may have gotten 3.5-4 hours of sleep in 7 days. And so I'm still going strong, sister. Still going strong. I was at work today. Almost fell backwards off a ladder. Got clumsy.
Okay, no. Now, you know you and I are going to have a serious conversation when this show is over. Right? Right. There's no need to even discuss it. We're going to move on. Okay. I want to extend the greetings, of course, to our listening audience. I want to especially extend the greetings to my cousin, Bunsway. Bunsway is my cousin. He lives in a village outside of Nairobi, Kenya. He is my third cousin, and he has a group of listeners that listen probably 12 noon in the daytime over there, which is like 4 o'clock in the morning here or something like that, he tried to explain to me. But he was saying that Nation Building had such a fan base over there, so to all of Bunsway and his group of listeners, his coworkers, thank you for your support. Thank you for your love. And I pray that Allah will bless me to continue to bring good to you. To my Nigerian family, cousin Samuel, much love. I love you so much. Thank you for your support. And assalamu alaikum to you as well. All right, we're going to get into it now. Last week, and please pardon my voice, y'all, I'm a little under the weather. I know I sound like probably one of the brothers, but if it gets too bad, Brother Rakim, Brother Ronald are here, And Brother Ronald and I, we're going to have a conversation. And I know you probably didn't hear the show, Brother Ronald, but I know Brother Rakeem and Brother Caesar were on last week when we talked about Willie Lynch. And I just want to know from your perspective, Brother Ronald, when you read the letter from Willie Lynch, how does it make you feel, and what are you thinking about our people today when you look at that letter?
First of all, being 39 and growing up and not hearing about Willie Lynch, like when I was in school, so when I finally got into the teachings, when I first came across the letter, it's first of all just mind blowing to know that it's real, and second of all, we remote control slaves. I mean, to read the letter and look at the condition that we're in now, and to all the divisions that we have amongst each other. I mean, I know the letter's real. When I see how we act, it's mind blowing. It's absolutely mind blowing.
Yes, sir. And so, you know, and I guess that's what you're saying, because when you look at it from, you know, when you look at what he said and you look at the condition of our people today, he made everything he said in that letter come true.
Yes, he did.
So here's my problem, and I shared with the audience last week. Pardon me, that last week was the first time I ever read the letter.
Right.
Like I said, I heard of it, read excerpts of it, had never sat down and read the letter. By the time I got to page 2, I was livid. I couldn't even go on.
Right, right.
And so I thought about it, and I've been thinking about it all week. And what I'm thinking is that as he conditioned us as a people, conditioned us into savagery, so to speak,
right,
and called us uncivilized and separated us from our land, from our culture, from our religion, from everything that we were, and took the very nature
right
of who we are as black people. Now,
right,
it's a difference. It's a difference. It's a difference, Brother Rama. It's a difference between somebody brainwashing you, somebody
right
persuading you, somebody conning you. But
right
there is a diabolical demon that lies within the nature of a man
right
or a
right
mankind.
Right.
That can change
right
the nature of another man.
Right.
And so, just tell me what you think about that. I'm going to leave it right there before I get to light.
It just furthers me to believe that the Caucasian is the devil. I mean, only a devil's mind would think to do something like that. Especially with no purpose but to create a business out of it, to enslave a people just for business purposes, it's mind blowing to me still. It's still breaking down in my mind. I mean, each day I go out, I still see the truth in what he did. So it's almost like an everyday, continuous thing. Like it never dies out. It never goes away. Every time I go outside and talk to somebody, or I see the division in the gangs, or this and that, or even division in religion, I think about this letter now.
Wow. So, Brother Ronald, being a black man, because that's one thing I could never experience.
Right.
Being a black man walking down the streets of Kansas City, Missouri, or where I come from Compton, California, from, you know, Fifth Ward, Third Ward, Houston, Texas, from anywhere.
Right.
Right, from anywhere. You know, to me, and even more so since I read this letter, it is very disheartening to walk down the street and not be able to know with a surety if you can trust your brother, if you could trust this sister. We clutching our purses and looking over our shoulder at somebody who looks like us. So I'm asking you, as a black man, when you walk the streets of America, no matter where you are,
right,
how are you feeling when you see the ones that look like you?
I'm heartbroken and happy. I'm happy because I know that it's a possibility that they can always change. But I'm heartbroken at the same time because I also know they can hurt me at the same time if I'm not careful.
Wow. And, you know, and just that example right there, that's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about, that mindset of a person being able to hurt another person that looks like them. That is the mindset of Willie Lynch, and that is the mindset that he have created within us. And what's so bad about it is 300 years after the fact, we're still hanging on to the mindset of Willie Lynch. I'm going to let my brother Rakim come on in here. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am.
You a black man in America, too. No matter where you are.
I definitely am. No matter where I am.
So,
And no matter where I am, I'm a black man in America. I'm a black man in all over the world. I'm a black man. I'm the black god of the universe. Let's go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir. So I just want to know from you. From being, because the black man was the target to weaken, but he used the black woman to make future generations of men weak. So as a black man, knowing and seeing 300 years after the fact that this mindset given to us by Willie Lynch still goes on. As a black man, how does it make you feel?
As a black man, sister, I'm gonna tell you something. It makes me feel very angry. Before we were raised from the dead, it didn't even matter. We just walked around. You remember the movie The Matrix?
Nah, I don't watch stuff like that, but go ahead. I've heard of it.
Okay, in the movie The Matrix. Matrix, now you know, in this European, and I was corrected about baby language. I'm not going to use the words I really want to use. But they've always made movies that gave subliminal messages, or they made movies that really had a hidden message behind, or they had the story behind how they conditioned us, like The Matrix. The Matrix is a movie. It's about how these people are, it's like they're programmed. They're programmed, and they don't even know they're programmed. And so they're defending the powers that be. They're being ruled and controlled by the powers that be, and they're programmed, and they don't even know what's going on. They're like the walking or the living dead. And that's how we are as a people. And so before I came into the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I didn't know. I was just here. I was just living in this world, being a part of this world, but not knowing really what the dynamics of far as us being conditioned into slavery, especially by this Willie Lynch syndrome. And I do call it a Willie Lynch syndrome because we are suffering. Here we are 300, 400 years later, we still suffering the effects of the Willie Lynch letter.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
Yes, ma'am. And so it really, when I look at everything that's going on around me, sister, it really makes me feel angry. I'm furious because the fact is, even when you try to tell one of our people what is right, they're so conditioned, they look at you like you crazy as hell. They don't want to listen to nothing that you got to say. They don't even want you to say nothing bad about the European. This beast, they don't want to say nothing bad about them because they still feel like this man has authority over them. And it's like, as we were always told, you no longer have the shackles on your ankles and on your wrists anymore. They're on your brains. And so it really pisses me off as a black man to have to witness this every day.
Yeah, and now they're trying to put the shackles back on our feet and our hands too, as they haul our brothers off to jail. So yeah, they still trying that one too, Brother Rakim. And you know, this is what I really wanted to say, because the reason why I asked you and Brother Ronald, as a black man, how do you feel, is because I want to share with the audience what Willie Lynch said. He said, we have reversed the relationship in her natural, uncivilized state. Now, he's talking about the woman. Now, he called our natural state uncivilized. He says, in her natural, uncivilized state, she would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigga male. So let's remove the language uncivilized, and we would say that she would have a strong dependency on her man. That is the nature of the relationship between black man and woman. And I'm going to tell you why I bring this up, because we're wondering why we're not getting married today.
Right.
And if you think for one iota of a second that the teachings of Willie Lynch don't have nothing to do with it, well, then Sister Gidget going to bring it home for you in a minute. Excuse me. As Willie Lynch taught in this letter, in order to have an economic development out of the slave man and woman, you had to take away their nature. You had to break down their mind. You know, you had to just change the essence of their being, take them out of their natural, spiritual, and mental habitat. Forget the physical habitat. Out of the mental and spiritual habitat of the nature in which God created them. But now we're wondering why we're not getting married today, is because if this conditioning, he estimated, would last 300 years or more, possibly thousands, then what the hell do you think he's teaching his children? His children's children. So we have so much adopted, integrated, joined on, however you want to put it, into this society. And so now we appear to be satisfied. We appear to be satisfied that we can go to so-called white schools and that we have a Cadillac and that we have a car and that, you know, we have a job. We got Social Security, welfare, food stamps. We got all of that, and we're satisfied. But could that be, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm going to ask Brother Rama how he look at it. Couldn't that be another mechanism, another tool to make the black man and woman feel comfortable, to feel a part of, when at the end of the day, because as this economic situation worsens, at the end of the day, they're not including us in their economic development because they can't enslave us anymore, so now they're imprisoning us. But how do you, what is your take on that, Brother Ronald?
First of all, because of Willie Lynch, our people absolutely don't believe in God.
Hmm.
Because of that, they don't believe. He didn't broke down the black man, so not only do they not believe in God, they don't even believe in man. And due to the system, you know, they turning around the roles now. They empowering the sisters, and the brothers is either locked up or lost. So marriage is absolutely out the question. That's not even it's almost like a war going on between the men and the women because of Willie Lynch. So, I mean, let alone getting married is something else, but we can't even communicate with each other. First of all, just even on a communication level. So it's, I feel like I have to, my job is to stay fast, to get as disciplined as I can, to learn my lessons and to do as much as I can to bring the lost sheep home. That's, 'cause other than that, man, it's a hard thing dealing with our people. You got to have extreme love. You got to know something. You got to be something that you know in order to deal with your people. So, I mean, I'm not confused. I put the responsibility on myself. So I know in order to, each one got to teach one. So if I got to do my part in order to teach a sister or brother.
That's right. That's right. Brother Rakim.
Yes, ma'am.
How you think it's affected the black man and woman relationship?
I think it affected us, sister, to the point that during the time that they condition us, they made the black man to be studs, and I mean, they made us to be nothing but tools in order to breathe. You know, they breed us like cattle. And so, therefore, if you look at this black man today, and if you look back, and one thing we must know for sure is, if you look, you got to study history. You got to study history to know and understand what is going on here today.
Yes,
if you look at, what happened to us back in slavery, and how this beast had conditioned us, he made the black man to be like cattle. He bred us like cattle. They never allowed us to get married. So the black man was having baby after baby after baby, just like a dog. You see a dog in the neighborhood, the dog is just walking around, and the dog just, you know, just breeding with the female dog, and before you know anything, you got litters of puppies walking around, mutts. Don't know where the hell they come from, don't know where the hell they're going. They just here on four legs at a 45-degree angle. And that is what I can say about the black man now. We just having babies after baby after baby. We don't want to take the responsibility of caring for them. We don't even want to take the responsibility of a woman, because even though we, in our physical selves, although we were not the ones that were back in slavery, we still have the mentality, we still suffer from the dysphoria of our ancestors.
Yes, sir.
We're still suffering.
Oh, yes, sir. We're going to get to the meat of it in a minute, because I got something I want to say. Okay, but before we do that, DJ Treason, do we have
anything,
any questions?
Hold on. Before we go to questions, before we go to anything, Sister Gidget, you got some water right there by you?
Yeah.
You got some good orange juice somewhere?
I got some water. I'm good.
Okay,
I'm going to
take care of my
good
sister now. Okay.
I don't have no voice. I can't even cut up tonight, so I'm good. I got to keep it mellow. And then, of course, I don't want to scare Brother Ronald off. This is his first time on the show.
Right.
We got to
do that.
Brother Ronald ain't scared. He ain't
right.
Scared, trust me. Okay, so DJ Treason, do we have any callers out there right now?
No, we don't.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on. Okay. this is what I want to talk about. I wanted to read this other part on here. It says that we reversed nature by burning, what did he say, and pulling a civilized nigga apart and bullwhipping the other one to the point of death, all in her presence, by her being left alone, unprotected, and the male image destroyed. I'm going to stop right there. And the male image destroyed. That was 300 years ago when he wrote this letter. However, let's look at it today. What are they doing today? How are they pulling him apart today? How are they beating him in her presence today? I'm going to tell you how they're doing it. They're doing it because they will offer a black woman a job. They will offer a black woman a promotion or a raise or whatever, a position, before they do the black man, because they don't want you empowered. But what they will do is the same thing that they did in the time of Willie Lynch. They will start to manipulate and negotiate with the woman. That's what he said. So what is corporate America doing? They'll make the woman a vice president, a black woman a vice president, better her than the black man, because they feel like we as black women, we could be negotiated with. And why? Because they have pulled our black men apart. They have taken our black men from us. Well, where are our black men, Brother Rakim? Well, we got almost 1 million in prison. We got 8 million on probation, parole, or in the county jail. So I'm saying is that it's the same stuff warmed over. And I'm telling you is that this immigration mess is getting on my nerves, because it's the same game. Different day, but the same game. Yeah. It's the same game. They'd rather have a black woman in power and authority over their whole corporate entity than to have a black man.
Right.
I'll tell you something,
and
sister.
And they tell you that they negotiate with this woman. They leave her unprotected. They leave her naked. They leave her dependent upon him. And what does she do? She turns around and teaches her male child, and particularly,
right,
to be physically strong, but be mentally weak and submissive to the crack. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sister, we don't want you to lose your voice, sister.
To the ones with the Caucasian persuasion. Let me put it like that. That's the best I can do right now. But, I mean, what I'm saying to y'all is this. And the reason why I'm so passionate about it is this. It's the same game. And I just feel so, I don't know, out of sorts, so to speak, to know that here we are 300 years after Willie Lynch, and we still haven't opened our eyes and recognized game. It said that he made the black man appeared to be weak in front of the woman, and he put the woman in front and had the man behind as a coward because of the brutality, you know, inflicted upon him. Well, it's the same thing today.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, some sisters, let me go at this thing, Sister Gidget. I want to go at this thing, and I want to really clarify what you're saying, because I don't want you to lose your voice. I don't want to take over, but I just want to get into this thing a little deeper, and I want to just go at what you just said. I say they take the female. Now, first of all, in order to break the black man down, you know they got to break the black woman down, because the black woman, according to our teachings, the black woman is the mother of civilization. She's the black man's, she's the first teacher. All right? First, you take the female, you run a series of tests on her, to see if she would submit to your desires willingly. Now, who desires are we talking about? We talking about the desires of the white man, not the black man, because the black man ain't got no power at this point. He didn't have no power then, and actually he still don't have no power now. They say, test her in every way because she is the most important factor for good economics. If she shows any signs of resistance and submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bull whip on her. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you spoil good economics. When in complete submission, she would train her offspring in their early years to submit to labor when they become of age. Now, check this out. The black man is doing labor all over America, in the prisons. And then, the only jobs that the black women don't have are these manual labor jobs, these slave-driving jobs. They got the black women in their offices in the cool air conditioners while they walking around in their suits, and they got the little Italian suits on or whatever, and they whispering in the black woman's ear, and the black woman really thinks this thing is she really thinks he's something. Check this out. Understanding is the best thing. Therefore, we should go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning that we have produced here in this breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship. In her natural uncivilized state, she would have strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and would raise the female offspring to be dependent like her. Nature has provided for this type of balance. We reverse nature by burning and pulling one uncivilized nigga apart and bullwhipping the other to the point of death, all in her presence, with her being left alone, unprotected, and the black male image destroyed. The ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in the reverse roles. For fear of the young male's life, she will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Because she has become psychologically independent, she would train her female offspring to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You have the nigger woman out front of the nigger man behind and scared. This is a perfect situation for sound sleep and good economics. Before the breaking process, we had to alertly be on guard at all times. Just listen to this man. Now we can sleep soundly, for out of frozen fear, his woman stands guard with us. He cannot get past her early infant slave molding process. He is a good tool, now ready to be tied to the horse at a tender age. By the time a nigger boy reaches the age of 16, he is soundly broken in and is ready for a long life of sound and efficient work and the reproduction of a unit of good labor force. Let me go on.
Okay, that's I done had about all the niggas.
Oh, Lord,
I can say it right now. I'm sorry. That's how I felt when I first read the letter. I was like, whoa, you know, really? I mean, whoa, I can't go no more. So listen, y'all, this is what we're going to do. We don't let DJ Caesar play a song. We already know who Willie Lynch is, what he's done, what the long-term effects have been. But here's the thing. We're talking about an exodus. That's the topic of the show. We're talking about the mental and spiritual exodus from Willie Lynch. So now that we've enlightened everybody again on who Willie Lynch is, we need to talk about turning this around. So DJ Caesar, can you play us a song? We're going to come back, Brother Ronald, Brother Rakim, and I. We're going to talk about getting the hell up out of here.
Oh, we're going to get the hell up out of here.
Hold on for a second, guys. Let me look for something. My computer froze up on me. Let me get it unfroze.
That's okay. Brother Rakim can rap us to a commercial.
You want me to rap you to a commercial,
boy, sister? Okay, all right.
All right, I'm gonna do a freestyle real quick. I ain't gonna do a freestyle, sister, because I might curse on that freestyle. I ain't gonna do that.
It's okay, brother Rama look like he might can rap. He might can freestyle.
Right, I can too.
Oh really?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well let's hear some. Wait a minute, so you can pump the brakes. Hold up.
Right, hold
up. Hold up, brother Rama.
Right.
Come on with it, soldier. We listening?
I said, I'm born God, so I skipped church. I found out truth works. No more spookness, and you can't baptize me. I only believe in the living. So if I don't salute you back, don't catch feelings. Boy, you grow up to be a deacon. You're a witness to a pimp. Get rich off preaching, dummy. Like you didn't know what you was facing. He said in 81, rebirth of the nation. I had to do it to the non-believers. Since the whole world's listening, I spit Aretha. And that's respect to the Mach-D, who traveled 9,000 for his lost sheep. Okay, so you're looking at the best. You're the cream of the crop. You ain't nothing but fresh. Yeah, now here's your chance to get on board. Extend courtesy. I'm truly yours.
That's what's up.
Sound
good, sound good, sound good.
First of all, right. I am
you know, we straight
brother
to the point, sister.
Don't get me started. Hey,
hold up. Wait
brother
a minute.
Rama,
hold up.
I love that, brother.
Let
me
catch my breath for a minute. Brother Rama.
Yes,
brother Rama. Now, let me tell y'all about Brother Rama, though. Let me tell you why I'm so shocked, Brother Rakim, DJ Black Caesar, audience.
Yes,
let me
tell
y'all why I'm so shocked. I hit Brother Ronald up on the inbox, asked him to be on the show. You know what the first thing this brother said to me?
He said,
sister, I'm not qualified. That's what
qualified.
He said to me. He said, I'm not qualified.
So I said,
of course you are.
Yes,
and he talked to him, huh?
Are we talking about this same brother on the phone that just got through spitting those nice bars to us?
Right.
Talking about that one right that there. That one right that there. That one right that there.
You know, when you know you're dealing with the gods and the queens, man, you just wanna be always come correct. You always wanna come correct when you know who you're dealing with, brother, sister.
Thank you, brother. That's what's up.
Well, he was so humble and sweet on the phone, and he was like, okay, Sister Gizzy, yeah, I'm gonna go study this lecture of Nuri on willingness. I'm ready now. And I'm like, okay. I say, little bro, I got you, man. Trust you. I got you. You're going to be all right. And here he is. I mean, just a magnificent spokesman of the word. For lack of a bit, I don't know if to call you a rapper, a poet, or what, but that was absolutely wonderful, Ronald. And this is what I'm talking about, y'all. This is what I'm talking about, minus the cliches. I don't care how big you are in the nation. I don't care how popular you get. Don't forget everybody else. We have so many beautiful brothers and sisters who are talented out here that we don't know. And if we don't take the time to grab them by the hand and say, come on, little brother Ronald, come with me. And let's see, you know, let's have a conversation. Who would have known that he had that gift? We probably would have found out later, but we all found out tonight.
I'm gonna spit something, Sister Gidget. This brother got me hyped. I gotta spit something.
All right.
I'm gonna spit something.
We don't need no music tonight. We got MC Ronald X and brother RKM in the house.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now I'm gonna tell you something. If I curse, y'all, please forgive me if I curse, because when I open my mouth, I don't know what the hell is going to come out of it next. I ain't going to even lie to you. But I'm going to try to keep it within, you know, within reason. With the words of Rage Rock Tapes coming. Cesar! This guy's crazy. All right. I'm gonna spit something. With the words of Rage Rock Tapes coming at ya. When I get ya, bet ya, sweat ya. Sounds of madness booming through your speaker. Supreme wisdom, let a nigga get deeper. Mentally dead, wake up, get up, lift your head up. And tell your fake ass preacher to shut up. Cause I'm fed up, I won't let up. The black race trapped in the motherfucking setup. Black on black crime, genocide, the self-destruct. And this government don't give a fuck. Love and unity, everything's frozen. I came forth because I am the chosen. I'm not a Sambo, Negro, nigga boo. Oh, damn. I'm losing words. But anyway.
No, you should have said damn a long time ago. Oh, my God, Brother Rakim.
I told you. I never know what's coming out of my mouth next.
Let me tell you something. I already knew what's going to come out of your mouth next, man, because I know you. You're my cousin, so I already know what's going to come out of your mouth.
Okay.
Let's pop our break for a second. Let's pop our break for a second, man. Let DJ Black Thing play y'all a little. Let me play you guys a little song right here. I'm going to play you guys a song that basically fits into what we're talking about.
Yes. Okay.
Push one of your keypad, and you guys that are listening on the internet, you can call in at 646-716-5971. Again, that number is 646-716-5971, or you can talk to us on our chat line. If you got a question, just put it in the chat room, and I'll see it, and I'll let these guys know what you got. And also, leave us some comments at the bottom of the page. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll see a comment area right there. It's basically Facebook. Leave some comments down. Everybody's on the phone right now. Please leave those comments. We need to get those comments going. Thank you, everybody, and just keep tuning in to the Nation Building every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. This is where we do it. This is how we do it. Tonight's topic, the Willie Lynch Syndrome. So let's get back into it, Sister Gidget.
Okay. Now that I've recovered from Brother Rakim's rap. Brother Rakim, your sister right here, honey, I'm a lyricist. And anytime you need to substitute some of those words, call me. But that was beautiful. That's just a beautiful display of talent. And I tell y'all something y'all might not know about Brother Rakim, but you might and you may not. Brother Rakim is multi-talented. He is a story writer. He is a poet. Of course, you just got your version of his rapping ability. But even more so than that, Brother Rakim shares a gift that I think I have. He knows how to bring people together, and he's such a genuine brother. So, you know, thank you, Brother Rakim. And, you know, like I said, we have so much talent in the nation, and I don't want to ever overlook anyone. And thank you, Brother Ronald X, again, for those beautiful words that you share with us. Now, we're going to get back to this because I'm going to put Willie Lynch down after today because we have to move on. And what I really want to talk about is the separation, is the exodus. And I almost didn't want to do anything in this subject matter coming behind the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last night, and I'm like, almost everything I wanted to say, what am I going to say now? You know, I mean, because, hey, he pretty much said it all in his answers to us on last evening. But I wanted to talk about the separation, and I really don't have any questions, or I'm not going to really make any comments. I'm going to make a statement. And this is from me. You know, we as a people have the power, we have the capability to undo Willie Lynch. And I'm going to tell you something, and I hope people don't take this the wrong way, but any one of you who have had the experience of reading the letter with an adult comprehension and realizing the design of this man and the way that he has designed us. If you are not willing to turn that behavior around, then you are as much a part of him as he is of himself, because you refuse to let go of the mentality that has crippled us for over 300 years. So what makes a man, what makes a woman? It's not color. It's the mindset. That's why they say when you're a little girl, you're a little girl. You're a toddler. You're a preteen. Now you're an adolescent. Now you're a young adult. Now you're middle-aged. Now you're old. There is a mindset that makes us godly and that makes us devil. So we know it's not our fault. But now that we know his design, now that we know his plan, it is time for us to have enough consciousness about ourselves to turn this thing around. You young men out there, and I know ain't nobody young hearing me, but if you got nephews, nieces, cousins, or whoever, 25 and under, stop killing one another. That's the plan. That's just like, Willie Lynch is like a bad joke. It's just like somebody plays a trick on you. Watch me do this to get this result. And it's been going on for 300 years. But we're the ones that's paying the price. We're the ones burying our sons. We're the ones sending commissaries to prison because, you know, our sons and our young men are locked up. You know, we have to turn this around. The second thing I want to say, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Ron and Brother Rakim. I'm going to let them talk because my voice is about to go. The second thing I want to say, you know, we have to come together. And every personality is not conducive for another personality. It's you know, it's almost funny. It's almost, you know, ludicrous to say, can we all get along in the name of Rodney King? No, we can't all get along. We're going to always have differences among one another, and it's about how we handle those differences. But the minister said something real key last night in going back to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when he said that we have to get with like minds. And when he answered the question of the 15-year-old young man out of Washington, D.C., Brother Eric, I can't remember his last name, when he answered that question, you got your baby out here, 15 years of age, trying to build a nation, but you're not. We have to build the villages, y'all. We have to build the towns, y'all. We have to build the mega cities, the metropolitan cities. We have to build the states, because if we don't, what do you think this man is going to do with us when it really, really, really gets tight? And when it comes to economic survival, who you think he's going to save first? If he'll kill his own for a dollar, just imagine what he's going to do with you.
Right.
And y'all think it's a game. You think it's almost impossible, but let me tell you something. Let it get real critical around here. All them brothers that's locked up in prison, they will sell your ability to work in other third world countries or other countries that need your bronze and your ability to work. And the next thing you know, it's going to be slavery all over again. If you think it's not possible, you better check it out, because they can't feed the population anymore. They can't take care of them medically anymore. So what are they going to do? They can actually send them outside of the country to do labor if it is permissible. But you need to watch your judicial laws and watch who you're voting for, because they're implementing these kind of programs. And your son is in the prison in Georgia today, and he'll be writing you from Europe tomorrow. We have to know what's going on. And if we don't know what's going on, Willie Lynch, 300 years, crusted behind, still in the ground, he's still running things. How dare we give a dead man that much power? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it when the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, who is almost 80 years of age, is kicking it to the street every day. Every day. If he ain't in the street, he's on a program, he's speaking at a church or a mosque or whatever. If he can do it, then what is wrong with us?
That's wrong.
Somebody talk black to me. I'm going to shut up. Brother
Ronald,
go ahead, black man.
I take it personal. I believe if each brother and sister in the nation takes it personal, because the responsibility is ours to civilize the uncivilized. So all I could do is take it personal and make sure that I do my part to know what I need to know so I can help my brothers and sisters that's out here who don't even they know about the letter but don't even believe the letter. So all I could do is like I said, I take it personal. It hurts me to see the condition that my people is in. So if each one of us takes this personal, and like you said, the minister is almost 80 and he's still hitting the street. So man, we got to get out there and bring our people home.
That's right. Brother Rakim?
Yes, ma'am. You know, you stated something earlier. You were talking about talents. And I know me and Brother Ronald are not the only ones with talents. You mentioned something about separation. Well, one thing for sure is, and we as Muslims, Master Farah Muhammad cited this example in Lesson 34 of the Problem Book. Satan sold a black man 500 B-square shares of stock in the Panama Canal at $1.75 per share. The Panama Canal was completed in 1914 at the cost of $375 million. The bigger part of the sum belongs to the shareholders, which we should call the 85%. And we know what 85% are, right?
Yes, sir.
The dumb, deaf, and blind.
Yes, sir.
The dumb, deaf, and blind. That's 85%.
Yes, sir.
There are 9,957 shareholders, not including the 15%. The Panama Canal is 50 and one-half miles long, 300 feet wide, and has a depth of 45 feet. What would be the amount of water in weight and gallons belonging to the black man at today's prices per gallon, including and compounding interest annually for 20 years at 6%. Okay, the mathematics of this lesson, I will leave you to compute, all you in the listening audience, but the spiritual side of the lesson is, this is the black community. I mean, we need an economic plan for survival. And that's what you mentioned, Sister Gidget. We need to survive, and we cannot survive without an economic plan. If the black elites, and when I say black elite, I'm talking about all you brothers riding around in your Cadillacs and your Lexuses, and you got the Chargers, the 300s, you got your big suits on, your dollar rings, and your bling bling and all that stuff. I mean, you're spending your money trying to make yourself look good, but your people are suffering. You are suffering, but you're just too damn blind and too damn dead to see it or to know it. If the black elite forms a profit-making corporation, like we're trying to do with nation building, and sell shares initially at $1,000 per square to raise $1 billion to purchase a banking system under a new account titled Black Redevelopment Banks of America Incorporated. That's like a good name. Or we can even say Nation Building Incorporated. And give the investors 6% interest on their money, it will be a start in the right direction. Now let's look at what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, or what he has done. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad established Guaranteed Bank and Trust as an example of what we should do in phase two of our development as a nation. And we are a nation. Black men and black women, you are a nation within a nation. You're not here by accident. You were here, you were a nation when you came here. That's why when you read the Bible,
that's right.
You were, Sister Gidget, I'm about to get fired up.
Yeah, I know.
I'm about to get fired up. I'm about to get fired up.
But let me just go right here. Let me just go right here. Because the minister said it so perfectly last night. You know, we talk about coming together, and that's fine. We talk about brotherly love, and that's fine. But at the end of the day, there's a dissatisfaction that lies within the black man and woman. Excuse me. There's a dissatisfaction that lies within us. And in that dissatisfaction, we really don't know where to target our anger. We target our anger at each other because we were designed to be that way per Willie Lynch. You know, you put the old against the young, the light skin against the dark skin, the whatever, the tall against the short, whatever he did. However he manipulated that process. However, we being, and I'm talking about my age group in particularly, but let's just take it from 25 and above, because our babies are going to put us to shame anyway. But let's take it from 25 and above. We have to have something tangible for our people to hold on to.
It's easy to say, come to the mosque and get the teachings. It's easy mm-hmm. to say, you know, come with me. However, when I come with you, what do you have for me when I'm naked, I'm hungry, and I'm out of doors? Because I can sit in the mosque and get the teachings on Sunday, but what am I going to eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? You know, so we have to build something tangible for our people, and we cannot allow the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to go just heard. I'm going to tell you that one more again, just heard. We all hear them. We can cite them. Some can quote them all the way from 1930 to 1975. But we have to be able to take that word and make it flesh. We have to, because if we don't, then what are we here for? What are the teachings for? What did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad served all those years for, trying to build up a black nation, trying to wake us up, trying to make us conscious of who we are? What has Minister Farrakhan been doing in his 57-year tenure? If all they wanted to do was to hold a conversation with us, we have the responsibility on our backs to do something. And I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's one person, two people, three people, five people, 10 people, 50 people. I'm asking everybody, including myself, because this is something I've been working on for a while. But I'm asking everybody, get with another individual or a group of individuals and develop a business of your own. I don't care if it's oatmeal cookies. I don't care if you're sewing head pieces. I don't care if you're making bow ties. I don't care if you get with a brother and y'all get a mechanic shop. Whatever. Pool your resources and let's start building. We have these conversations, blog talk show after blog talk show, you know, mosque after mosque. We have these conversations, but we have the ability, because all we got to do is pick up message to the black man. That's the roadmap to success right there by itself.
That's right.
We don't have to live like this. But how long are we going to talk about it? I want to be able to come on Blog Talk Show and say, hey, y'all, me and Caesar and Brother Rakim, hey, we got a studio over here, or we got a restaurant over here. Sure, Brother Rakim and Brother Caesar cook better than I do. I'll end up being a waitress, because I can cook, but not like those brothers put it down. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But to say that we pooled our resources, that we have our like minds, we took our commonalities and we built something, and Brother Rakim and DJ Black Caesar and Ronald and everybody in the Nation Building Work Network, we gonna have to be an example. Don't make me call your name, Brother Jahad. Don't make me call your name, Brother Rasul, Brother Jamil, Sister Marilyn. I got Brother Ronald on the phone now. Brother DJ Black Caesar, Sister Martha, Sister Vianna. Don't make me call your name. We have to be an example, because it makes no sense for Sister Gidget to get on the radio talking about we need to do this and we need to do that, and we're not doing anything. So I'm not going to not be an example. I'm going to be an example, and I'm going to be about what I talk about. And I'm going to take a break, because y'all, my throat hurts.
Amen. Amen, sister.
Amen.
Any questions out there, please? I'm sorry. Are there any questions?
You just shut it down, man. You just shut everybody down. Nobody has a question after that.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to.
Yeah, we know you weren't. But you just shut it down.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No.
Well, Brother Ronald.
You know it too. Speak on it. Speak on it again.
Really, my voice is about to leave me. But, Brother Ronald,
I want to ask you something, because you told me that you have three children.
Yes,
correct?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And so, as a father of three children, I know DJ Black Fever has three children as well. You know, what are we teaching them? What are we really teaching them? And as far as you can see, because, you know, I remember being a young mother, and I could look at my children by the time they got a certain age. I say about that preteen, teenage era.
That's
and
right.
I could look at each one of them and tell what they were going to be about and how they were going to go about their lives. Just because I know my children, but I know how well they paid attention to the teachings, and I know what they dismissed. You know, they definitely dismissed how to eat to live.
Right.
But, because, you know, they tell my mom, we going to Mickey D's. Okay, Mickey who? You know, I'm like, oh, no. But, you know, when they 30, you know, what can you say? It's like, but I can still whoop that behind. They already know. But, you know, so I'm saying that as our children are coming up, what are we teaching them? Because I think this is very important, that we start to teach our children what is not being taught to them in school. We know what's not being taught to them. We know that they're not getting their history. We know that there's no blonde-eyed, blue-haired woman teaching a black history class in any high school in America.
Come on, Sister Gidget.
We lost her. Let me call her back.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. I'm back, y'all. Brother Rakeem, did you finish? Did you pick up where I left off?
No, ma'am, you wasn't going long enough. We got you in here as quick as we could.
Right.
Okay, so let's just stop and talk about the education of the children. So as a father, Brother Ronald, what is it that you really want to instill in your children for their future?
First of all, my parents, they're not Muslim, so... my kids have already the advantage of growing up from birth, knowing about the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and knowing about Master Farah Muhammad, and also knowing about the Minister of Farrakhan. So just off the flip, them knowing self or learning self has already given them an advantage to me that I didn't have, or a lot of the kids, a lot of my peers didn't have, because you know, so many of my peers grew up in the school system not learning nothing. So by me being in the nation and already introducing them at such a young age, I could already see the difference from them just even knowing about the teachings. So. From that point of view, I believe that, well, I know for a fact if I keep them in the nation, and as much as they learn, I know they're gonna be all right. You're not gonna be able to trick them. I believe they're gonna be all right.
Absolutely. So, Brother DJ Black Treats, and I know. You know, we are family. I mean, I'm not drawing the line here at the Nation of Islam. I'm talking about
the black family. And when I say the black family, I'm talking about our so-called Native Americans, our indigenous brothers and sisters. I'm talking about our Hispanic brothers and sisters. I'm talking about all of our Latino brothers and sisters, whether you're from South America, whether you're from Colombia, and, you know, whether you're from Africa, Jamaica, or whatever, the black American family in America. So we're going to dismiss the so-called religion. The teachings are the teachings. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching, he was not teaching Islam to just Muslims. He was teaching Islam. He was teaching truth. He was teaching actual fact to the black man. That's why that book is called Message to the Black Man. It's not called Message to the Black Man in the Mosque. It's not called Message to the Black Man that's a Muslim. It's called Message to the Black Man. So that's inclusive of all of us. So, DJ Black, please, I want to ask you, because you're a father, and I know you have three beautiful children. So, as a father, in this day and time, knowing our history and then seeing how that history has manifested and see how we have fell victim to that, what do you teach your children these days? Because you know they're not getting it in the school.
Well, Sister Gidget, basically, I just want my kids to be involved with knowing who God is. As long as they know who God is, then everything else will work out. Like, anything else in life will work out for them. Like, I have a daughter in college. Her name is China Lachelle Jackson. And every day she texts me that she's doing good in college. And I told her, I was like, well, you're supposed to be. I appreciate you calling me and letting me know. I appreciate you doing a good job in college because you didn't do too good in high school, but she's doing an excellent job in college. So my father, we were talking about that, and I think we came up with the basics of why she's doing so good in college versus high school, because in high school she had her phone around, her computers around, she was doing stuff like that, she was communicating with the kids, she was always into something, she always had something going on. But now while she's in college, the phone, she has a situation where her phone doesn't work in the dorm. She had to go outside to talk on the phone. So my father was telling me, he's like, that's why she's doing so good in college. I was like, no, why she's doing good in college is because she's really studying. And I feel what he's saying because I think he has a point there also. But the point is she's doing a great job in college right now versus high school. She did all right. She made it out of high school with B's and C's, but now she's in high school getting straight A's, so I'm digging that. And my son, Brandon, basically, I had him pictured that he was going to be a preacher or something like that one day because the way he was acting, the way he was talking, he's very religious, and he's in the choir, he's in all that stuff. So he got a lot going on with religion as far as in his head, so I'm still thinking he's going to be a preacher. And my little daughter, Imani, she lives in Wisconsin. I'm about to get her myself. I got to go get her, like, later on next month sometime. I'm going to get her to bring her back. And she's in a church also. When she was here with me, she was in church all the time. I raised her to be in church. I raised my kids all to be in church. And they really thrive on that right now. So I'm happy for that. I pray for them every night. So they're doing really good. And as far as what I teach them, I really don't have to teach them anything because my kids, I know everybody will say, oh, this nigga's crazy, this dude's that, man. But what I'm saying is my kids are actually the kids that everybody else wants to have. And what I mean by that, they don't do anything wrong. They're always doing something. They're always studying. They're always in their books. They always get the grades up. I mean, my son and my little daughter, they're on the honor roll every year, and that's a good thing. My older daughter, she was on the honor roll a couple times, but, you know, that wasn't her thing. Math is her worst subject, and she's trying to get together now in college, and she's doing better. And I just want to say to everybody out there that's listening in right now, as long as your kids are in God, as long as they're in God, as long as they believe in God, and they study all the time, they read the Bible, when they don't have anything else to do instead of playing video games, instead of going down the road to video games at the mall, instead of going shopping all the time, you know, get in your Bible, get some religion, get yourself together, practice what you preach. You know,
come
if you're doing
on.
That, if you're doing that, then your kids are going to turn out great, man. Because my kids, basically, I can't really say anything bad about them. I can't say anything bad about them. They're doing what they need to be doing to get out of the situation they're in right now as far as school and get on to a better living in life doing something structural. My daughter wants to be a lawyer. My son wants to be a football star. And they're all going in the right direction because those things they want to be. My son is an honor roll student. He's doing great with the football thing. He's always on television and stuff like that. So they're doing what they need to do. And my daughter, she's doing the same thing. My little kid, she's only 12 years old right now, and she's, like, on the honor roll every year. She's on the honor roll. She's only 12. But she's gifted. She's one of those gifted kids, like my man Rakim, like his daughter. You know, we got gifted kids in our family. I can say that. Because every little kid in our family has some kind of gift that they're being represented by God. God is really, he's really smiling on us. That's all I can say.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful, and that's a blessing, because we lose so many children, and you know, and we're not going to talk about the tragic side of it, but we lose their minds in this educational system that has deprived them of the knowledge of self, and our children grow up thinking that they need to integrate and they need to be a part of this society when they are so disconnected from their own greatness. They have no idea of the great people in which they come from. And so they feel like they need to attach to what they think is great, what is being presented in front of them as being great. You know, even as women, I'm talking about grown women. I'm 46 years old, and I see some of us. I mean, really, y'all? You know, we got a booty on our chest. We got 10 tons of makeup. We got short dresses on. We got 3-inch heels on, trying to recapture something that we lost a long time ago. And then when our daughters start to rebel against us, then now we have a problem. And so what I'm saying to you is that we have to turn the mind process of Willie Lynch around in order to save our people and build something for ourselves. Now, I'm going to put it like this. The Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan might not ever say it like this, but Sister Gidget is going to say it like this. If you feel like you want to be a part of the American way, and you want to go to school with white folks, and you want to go live in the neighborhood, and you want to be able to go to the movie and to the mall with them, that's fine. That's you. Go ahead on. May Allah bless you. I don't want that life. And the reason why I don't want that life is because, like I said in the beginning of the program, if you think that Willie Lynch, he didn't come up with this overnight. He came into this by carrying it into practice, but what kind of mindset will make you think of something so evil and so diabolical? And what I'm saying to you is that as he has conditioned a black man for 300 years, he's also conditioned his people to think the same way. And like I said before, if they take their own people out for a dollar, then what makes you think at any time they going to care about us? What was the man's name on Wall Street? What was his name? Madoff? Okay, Madoff was white as the driven snow. He was taking whose money? White folks' money for a dollar. So he left some people homeless, broke, destitute. You thought he cared? They were his color and his kind. Do you think he cared? So if he don't care about his own people, what makes you think that the nature that dwells within this kind of man is going to love you 300 years after the fact and after 300 years of being cultivated into this kind of savage in which he was? What is there to make us think that we love? I mean, somebody talk to me, Brother Ronald. Why is it that we're gravitating? Why is it that we have this desire to integrate and be a part of?
Maybe I missed the boat somewhere. I don't know.
Because a lot of the brothers don't know history. They only take it as far back as slavery. So in their mindset, they believe that they're not slaves anymore because now they can drive fancy cars. Now they can do this and they can do that. But by them not knowing their history, if you just judge yourself from slavery, then you don't have no good comparison. You think that you're free now because of the things you can do. But if you knew history, you would know that we had a history before slavery, when we was the original people, the gods and the queens. But if you only know about slavery, what they teach you is, if you only take it back to we just came over here on ships and had shackles and chains, and you will believe that in this day and time that you're free now because you can do the things that you wasn't permitted to do as a slave.
Exactly, exactly. That was beautifully said. I would have never thought of that. You are exactly right. Brother Rakim?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, black man. Come on, help me out, because your sister about to fall out over here.
I'm still stuck on what Brother Ronald said. That was beautiful, brother. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, that was absolutely beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. And, you know, and that's what's missing, Brother Rakim, is that history prior to. And, you know, a lot of people think that we, as they want to call us, African-American, black people, Negroes, whatever they want to call us, they think that there's an underlining of hate or anger or a desire to retaliate. And they think that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and that the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan teaches hate. But I want people to be clear, especially my sisters and brothers of the Christian faith. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan did not teach and do not teach hate. We are taught a self-love and appreciation for one another, for ourselves. I want people to get out of the mindset of America and go back to the mindset of Africa, from which we all originated. And I ain't talking about 1865 Africa. I ain't talking about 1700 Africa. I ain't talking about 1500 Africa. I want you to go back to the continent of Africa, to the creation of man. Our brothers and sisters in the Bible, you know, God made man, fashioned him out of clay, breathe air into him, and you know, he said, go forth, be fruitful, be multiply, and multiply. Okay. We have to get back to that mindset of God, because if we don't get into the thinking of God, of what he told us to do, what was one of the first instructions? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, come on, let's get out the bedroom for a minute. Because if you were going to be fruitful and multiply, then you would have to have a means of support for the fruit that you're bearing. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes,
you got to have a means of support for it. So, you know, let's go back to where the man worked, where the woman was by his side, where the woman took care of her children during the time that the father was at work. But then what is to happen when the father comes home from work? He has to also work on his family. He has to work to make sure that he keeps an order and a rod of discipline within his house. Well, for everyone who is a man, everyone who is a black man, take your position. I don't care if you got 10 cents or $10,000 in your pocket right now. Take your position as a man because God gave that to you.
Whoa.
And nobody can take that from you. Women, my sisters. All right, here we go. It's going to get sticky, icky now. Because you know how we get attitudes. My sisters, take your place as a woman. Now, I'm gonna share this with you briefly. And I'm going to answer the question of why we're not getting married. It says that now in a few years, when these two offspring become fertile for early reproduction, because back then I guess they were making them mate, what, at 10, 11, 12 years old, we will mate and breed them to continue the cycle. So, sisters, what I'm saying to you is that we have a beautiful black man that walks this planet, beautiful black men that walk this planet, and we have all been affected by Willie Lynch. However, you are still the mother of the earth, and you are still the first educator of man. And that's why it's your position as a wife to bring comfort, to console, to support. Now, I don't want to be inappropriate, but we know how we work our jelly. We know how we can work our jelly. But we're working it on the wrong thing. We need to work it on love, understanding, unification, family planning, and business development within our home. That's what we need to be working it on. I wish and I pray that every couple, every woman in particular, but every couple, get a copy of the Willie Lynch letter and read it paragraph by paragraph, because it will help you to understand why we are the way we are. And everybody's saying, well, Willie Lynch is old and you're bringing this up and it might be new to you and it ain't new. But you know what? He's still here. Now, I understand if I had missed the boat, but he's still here and I see it every day. So we really have to get to the point where we undo this. It's just like when somebody ties us up in a knot, we undo the knot. Okay, it's time to undo the knot, y'all, because we're paying a hell of a price. We're paying a hell of a price, and I know I say this every week, but our men are like precious jewels. Our men are like the black pearl that you rarely can find at the bottom of the ocean. Our men are precious and few. And after a while, if we keep on playing these games, sisters, we keep on playing these games, acting like we don't know, acting like we don't know how Willie Lynch has reversed the role of the man, how Willie Lynch has encouraged the mindset of the man, and how we have the ability to understand and study Willie Lynch and then do everything he did in reverse to restore our black men, and so they can take the position that they are due, then we have failed them. Now, that's the way I see it. Maybe I'm wrong, it's two left shoes, but as a woman, as a mother, as the first educator of man, I know now. And I understand now better why our men are the way they are. So anytime a man coming me sideways now, I just do the reverse Willie Lynch. Like, oh, baby, it's all right. I mean, we have to stop acting
acting like we don't understand. And if we don't understand, then let's study what has happened to the beautiful black man so we can turn that around. Okay, I'm going to see if we have any questions. I don't know if we do. And I'm going to let Brother Ron and Brother Rakim talk.
No, ma'am, we don't.
Mm. Okay. Brother Rakim, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here, sister, I'm here.
Okay.
The main thing, sister, what we got to do, and you mentioned something about money, and one thing about our people, and this is something I always wanted to do, and we started out nation building to help our people. We started nation building to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to help our people. And nation building, we're in the process of incorporating nation building. Just in case the audience don't know, nation building, we started on Facebook. Well, Facebook was a means to network with different believers and different groups of our people in order to come together in order to build a nation of our own. That was the main goal that I had in the founding of nation building. But here we are a year later. We have not done a damn thing but created a radio show and a Facebook page. And so I'll plan to every one of you out there, if you give a damn about yourself, your family, your nature, I'm asking you, and very soon, Sister Gidget and I, we're already working on this, we're going to get a PayPal account. I mean, one thing we got to do, we got to learn to trust our own people. We trust this damn enemy. We give him all our money, but we're afraid to trust our own people with our money. We think that we're going to run off with our money, but hell, this devil, he runs off with our money every day. Just look at WorldCom and how this Bernie Ebers, he stole and robbed from everybody and made millions, if not billions, of dollars. And he was trusted by a bunch of black people just because he was a white man. Now, that is something very serious.
That sounds crazy.
Oh, yes, it's crazy. So all of you that got Verizon, if you got Verizon, Verizon was created on a lie at first. It's supposed to be legitimate now. But Verizon started out as WorldCom, which developed right here in Mississippi where I am now. That's where it started at. Skytel. Mm. I know some of y'all remember Skytel. Y'all had the pagers. WorldCom owned all of this. And when this man went to prison for robbing everybody of their money, all they did was change their name. They changed the leadership. They changed the faces. Well, guess what? The goal is still the same, to take your damn money and pocket it or deposit it in their banks. Well, guess what, black man and black woman? You don't have nothing of your own. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, no nation can be free, black or white, that does not control its own economics. The black man in America, and if your skin look like mine, you black, hell, I'm Latino. But guess what? I'm still black. So don't try to use that term Latino to say that you're not black. Latino is a racist term. Hispanic is a racist term. Nigga, Negro, those are racist terms that separate our people, and we still separate it. We separated economically, we separated spiritually, we just separated. The black man in America does not have a system in place to save, spend, or control his own money in such a manner that it comes back to support his own community. All our damn money go out to everybody else. The black man supports everybody's community but his own. Hell, you go to the white man's store, you spend all your money in Belk's, Dillard's, Macy's, you spend all your money, but guess what? It's going back to their community. And I'm sick. And you know something? I ain't got nothing against the black church, but I'm sick of all these churches going up in the black community. And they ain't doing a damn thing for us. I'm sick of this. Every corner, I was in one little small neighborhood in my city. I saw 30, and I'm not lying when I tell you this, I saw 30, 40 churches in one little small community, up the street, down the street, across the street, next door to one another, and they're not doing a damn thing for our community. But you look at this European. He builds a whole community around his church. You see a church go up, then you'll see a gas station. You will see a grocery store. You will see a hospital. You all right, Sister Gidget?
I'm good. Go ahead.
You, okay. Oh, boy, I lost my train of thought. But the black man money supports everybody's community but his own. As a result, his money is run down. Second rate, there are no black-owned hospitals. What black hospital can you go to? What grocery chain can you go to? What gas and oil company that we own that you can go to, or any concerns that produce the essential of life, such as food, clothing, and shelter for the black man and black woman? You don't see that. Every damn thing we do, everything we buy, we got to go into their community. All the money going out of our community. We don't have nothing. The resurrection of the dead black man, and we're not Negroes. Negro means dead. The resurrection of the dead black man is the first spiritual. It's first spiritual because he must wake up to God within himself before he can progress. Second, it is a mental endeavor that must be thought out and planned from poverty to wealth as a nation and not just as individual blacks. You think that one black man can rise above his people? You think Oprah Winfrey, just because you see Oprah Winfrey doing something, or Bill Cosby doing something, or Jay-Z, Beyonce doing something, you think that we have gotten over, we have overcome this bull shiznit because these people got money? You a damn fool if you think so.
Oh, okay.
Don't look.
All right.
Don't look at.
Brother, you all right?
Oh, sister Gidget. Oh, man. Let me. We don't have but a few minutes. I just can't. I can't get into this thing like I want to. But we need to wake up as a people.
Yes, sir.
We got billions of dollars, billions of dollars going through the white man's banks, but we doing nothing for ourselves. We get a little car, we get a little house.
So we got all of the Al Jordans. We got all that. All the flat screens. All the gold chains. We got all that.
Oh yes. Yes. Oh, and all the tattoos. You spend all your money on tattoos. I see a lot of black people with tattoos all over their body.
Oh,
spend
no.
200
we
here.
We spend our money on weave. 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 You hear me? Somebody counts his hair. Really? Really, y'all?
Do somebody want to... I tell you what, I'm broke. Do anybody want to buy my hair? I got some hair. I'm gonna cut it this weekend.
Do better. No, if we gonna do weave, that's fine. But let's get our weave. Or if you gonna buy foreign hair, then you know why? You know, a lot of our sisters have beauty shops and things of that nature. Well, then why not? You know, encourage your beautician to buy hair wholesale, so that when you come in there, you can buy hair from her and she can sew it in your head or whatever she do. But let's be encouraging to the people, the black people that we do. Because it's one thing about us. We might go to Macy's and Dillard's and we might pass up the black boutique, but I'm going to tell you, we not going to let no white woman in our hair. That ain't happening. Our sisters fix our hair because they know how to whip it the way we like it whipped. So most of the time, most of our sisters, we go to black beauticians. We ain't playing that. No, we ain't playing that. So let's encourage our sisters to get into the wholesale hair business, if that's what we're going to do, and do it for themselves so we won't have to spend our monies everywhere else. Now me and Brother Rakim, we didn't talk. Brother Ronald.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Ronald.
Yes,
are you still there, beloved?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you have some thoughts for us? We about
I just want to send
minutes.
I just want to send shots out to my Christian family and to all my other family, that my Mexican family, my family, and I want them to know that this is I really do love them. It's gonna take unity. It's gonna take real love. And I just want to let them know this is genuine. Without them, I can't keep doing it.
Talk up, Brother Ronald. We losing you.
I said I just want my Christian family and all my other brothers and Mexican brothers to know that this is coming from the heart, and I really do love them. And without them, I can't see it getting done. Just because I'm from the nation don't mean that I don't need them. We need everybody. It's going to take some real love and real unity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you. Okay. All right. Cease, I guess we have no questions tonight.
Yep.
We done got too deep, sister. We done got too deep. We done got too deep. I'm gonna be honest with you. After we done sit on and we say, who can come back with a question after all that? We done answered damn near every question.
Well, it's huh?
I said the brother's about right.
Well, you know, I do that all the time, and I'm sorry. To my audience, I apologize, you know, but I always want to be precise and correct if I am, and if I'm ever wrong, please don't be, be reluctant to tell me, but, you know, I shared with you all once before about having divine insight, and whereas you may look at something in one way, Allah has blessed me to see it in another way, in a way that it's on a larger scale. So as you have to learn how to read the signs of time. And as we look at Minister Farrakhan, 79 years of age, going out into the street, and going after our young people, not our young people, he's going after everybody.
Oh.
That's a sign of a very critical time. Because Minister Farrakhan has so much opposition in the world. But then he is also so loved, and I believe that the opposition is hype. I think he has more love. People have more love for him than he has opposition against him. But when we look at the movement that our minister is making, when we look at the energy that he's putting into going into the streets, gathering the masses, we need to be aware. We need to, take notice. We need to start moving, because we've had this lesson for over 80 years. But it's time for us to start moving. And people, it's easy when you're comfortable. And I'm telling you, Sister Gidget, no, it's easy when you're comfortable. When you can come home, you can put on your big screen, you can pull your car up into your garage, you can sit on your $5,000 living room suit, you can climb in your $10,000 bedroom suit. I already know that you're comfortable. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think that this devil is after you, I want you to go online, everybody who listens to me, and look up FEMA camps. They are not only planning to imprison us, but they in such a hurry to do it that they've come up with these FEMA camps now. So, Brother Rakim, if I appear that I'm in opposition of the American government, my last name is Muhammad. That could bring suspicion enough. They can hold me. And they don't have to charge me. How long they can hold me, I guess that's still up in the air. But my whole point is that we're getting to that time. And I don't know what we're waiting on. You know, Minister Farquhar said it last night, are we waiting on somebody else? Do we not think that godly things or spiritual things will happen in our time, that miracles will not happen in our time? Do we think that the Quran and the Bible are a lie and that the book of Revelation will never come to be, that if somebody was just sitting down writing a story because they didn't have nothing else to do?
Right.
And why we don't accept the fact that we're in that time. The signs are there. Forget the signs of man. A man can come up with a concept to make it appear as though we're at the end of the world. But look at the natural signs. And when I say the natural signs, I'm talking about look at how the economy is drawn up. You know, and look at how we're really having to revert back to our grassroots. We're going to have to start growing our own food because look at the chemical warfare and look at the results.
Yes,
look at the results of the food that we're eating that contain chemicals. Look at the amount of medications that we're taking because we're ill. Look at the almost incurable, well, a lot of diseases are incurable. They ain't found no cure for herpes and AIDS. They hadn't really found a cure for that, far as I know. But cancer is rampant. Cancer excels every year. First is brain cancer, then it's liver cancer. Now, if you look at it, every other man that we know that's famous got pancreatic cancer. And they're dying at a young age. You know, so why do these things keep increasing? We have to look at the big picture, but we keep thinking that Jesus going to roll in on a cloud. He going to stand us all up and say, you go, you sit, you go, you stay, you go, you. Come on, y'all.
Right.
We have to be a real people living in real time, doing real things, being real people of the book. Now, I don't want to get lost. I don't want to be left behind. But I don't want my brothers and sisters to be left behind because y'all can say whatever y'all want to about Sister Gidget, but let me tell you something about Sister Gidget. I love each and every one of you.
Right.
All of my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you because in my mind, there's no more beautiful people. There's not a more beautiful people than our people. And who are our people? Our people are everybody except for those that we know that are not.
Right.
We're not going to call their name. But
right.
I love you all. And it is out of that love that I do this. We differ. I got some of y'all. Y'all do some stuff I can't stand. And y'all know I'll tell you to your face. But at the end of the day, if you need me, you know I'm that sister you can call. If you need me, you know I'm right there for you. If I can do anything for you, you know I will. We all have to have that type of attitude towards our family. And when I say our family, I'm talking about our world family.
That's right.
We have to. I'm not going to talk on it anymore. I'm going to put Willie Lynch to rest. I'm going to come back next week. We're going to have my beloved brother minister, Minister Robert Muhammad, Southwest Regional Minister. We're going to be talking about the poly tricks of politics, and nobody can bring it better than Brother Robert when it comes to politics. So I want to give you a rundown of the network. I think we have about 6 more minutes. Brother Ronald, I want to say this to you, beloved. First, I want to tell you that I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on the show. I thank you for your spirit and for your love, and you just, you know, and
It was just so funny because you appeared to be so nervous, and he was like, sister, I'm not qualified. You have been a wonderful panelist tonight, and I want you to come up out that shell. I want to see more of your gifts. I want you to put yourself out here on Front Street so y'all can see my beautiful little brother, Ronald X, 39, single, ready to mingle with a wife, only a wife.
Right.
Yes, and I thank you so much, beloved, for really just taking the chance.
Thank
so
you,
many
Queen.
People say no. So many people really say no. But I wasn't going to let Ronald go. For some reason, I just couldn't let Ronald go. I just knew he had something special. I've been reading your post for a while. And I'm
That's
like,
right.
You know, Brother Ronald, he on it. He might be a little shy, but I think I can pull him in. So I would like
That's
to
right.
welcome you to the Nation Building family, Brother Ronald. And
yes,
Brother Rakim, you have anything you want to say, Brother Ronald, before I move on?
I just want to say thank you, Queen, for giving me a chance to rep this nation of ours. Hopefully all eyes please with me.
Oh, most definitely.
Definitely.
I'll tell him to be if he not.
Oh, but then there, I know he's going to be there.
Yeah,
yes,
right,
ma'am.
Like I got that kind of power. Brother
right.
Rakim, thank you, my twin soul, for, you know, I don't know. You know, a lot just, he'll take over because I've actually had no voice all day, and I still don't have a voice. I'm really struggling. Excuse me, but I guess I had to say what I had to say, and a lot made it possible, even though I'm over here about to choke to death, but I can't breathe. We got through it. And DJ Black Caesar, thank you for participating because, you know, a lot of, you know, we have different genres, different things that we're off into, but a lot of people don't know DJ Black Caesar, and a lot of people may get a different impression about him, but I'm going to tell you something. That is a Baptist with a bow tie. Because I have seen such a change in his persona since he's been with Nation Building. And DJ Caesar's a beautiful brother. He's about to be a hubby. Now, that's what I'm afraid. He's about to become a husband. He is a loving father, but he's a brilliant, and I can't say it enough, businessman. And he is so devoted to what he does, and he is always so helpful. And, you know, he just don't get no rest. He really, really neglects himself, and I'm going to get with him and Brother Rakim in a minute about that because they always fussing at me, but I think it's time for me to turn the table now. But, you know, we really appreciate all what you do, Brother DJ Caesar, and I just want to say thank you. And
thank you.
Yes, sir. And so I'm going to give you a rundown on Tuesday. We have Out on the Front Line with Brother Jihad Muhammad, and he have a Boots on the Ground report. We have DJ Black Caesar and Vianna on Wednesday. So, DJ Black Caesar, who you got coming up this Wednesday, you know?
No, I don't. I know.
Well, I tell you, you know, he has some wonderful new artists on that show, and if you want to hear some beautiful new music, and it's not all hip-hop, it's not all rap, you've had some gospel artists on there, you've had some R&B singers on there, you've had some authors on there, there are just a lot of people, graphic artists. Brother Unique is a graphic artist, and God knows what else he does. But, I mean, there are all kinds of people, and these are our people, so stop being so fickle and so funny. And I want you to tune in to DJ Black Caesar Show on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, of course, I'm here, you know, as long as I'm here, and most of the time with my little brother Rakim, so... And on Sunday, we have Brother Vernon Muhammad and Brother Kamos Muhammad
with our economic development, no romance without finances. So this Sunday, I will be taking their place because they have things to do. So Sister Gidget is going to talk to you about money, and you're going to see the other side of your sister, because in spite of what you may think, I do have a background in finance banking. Thank you very much. So we're going to talk about building business and being successful at it, and we're going to talk about some jobs that we can do for ourselves and create for ourselves, since there are not any out there, since they're giving them all to the prisoners now. So with that being said, I think that's it. Any last words, Brother Rakim?
Yes, ma'am. Prayer. In the name of Allah,
yes,
the truly beneficent, the truly merciful, my praises be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the beneficent, the merciful, master of this day of judgment. Thee do I gladly serve, and thee do I beseech for help. Please guide and grow us on the right path, the path of those upon whom your favor of success, and not the path of those of whom is your wrath of chastisement, nor of those who go astray. O Allah, please hear my prayer in sincerity, in love, in peace, let it be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, y'all, I'm out. One nation, one love. Good night, family. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ronald, Brother Rakim, and Brother DJ Black Caesar.
Rinse too.
Alaikum salam.
Peace to the queen.
And pay my cousin.
One nation, one love, y'all. Assalamu alaikum.